I'm talking to Ben McHugh here in Swanling Bar. Ben, have you always lived here?
Yeah.
All your life?
All my life.
And where were you born? What part of?
Just next door from here.
Beside where the school
next
is?
Next door.
Just, yeah.
Just next door there.
All right. And were you born into a big family or?
Yeah, I went to eight of a family.
And what did your father do?
He's a creamery manager.
Where?
In Swanling Bar.
Swanling Bar. And so, what was his name, your dad's name?
Patrick Joseph McHugh.
What was it like growing up here in the 1940s, you know? And
well, the 40s, I wouldn't remember too much about the 40s, but most of our time was spent in the football field. It was all the entertainment we'd have, except for the circus that come round once or twice a year and an odd concert. And that was what we... There was a lot of people around here at that time. There was two schools here, boys and girls, and out in the country there was three schools. And
which one of them did you go to?
You were the boys.
Yeah. And when you finished school then, what did you go on to do?
I went to St Michael's Secondary School in Inniskillen for a short time, and that was my education. After that, then I went to work with my father in the creamery out here. And I was in the creamery from 1950 here in Swanling Bar until 1970. And in 1969, the creamery closed here in Swanling Bar. And I was sent to Templeport Creamery. That's about 10 miles away. So I was in Templeport Creamery until 1988, and it closed in 1988. And I'm living here since. Yeah. Swanling Bar.
And when, in 1969, when the Troubles broke out, did you take part in the civil rights marches or?
No, but not, I did not too many civil rights marches now. I'd done a lot of work for Sinn Féin. So I did.
What kind of work was?
Oh, well, selling papers and every Saturday night, and organising meetings and so that'd be that but, line.
When the first Troubles broke out before 1969 now, were you part of that then?
Yeah, yeah. Well, 1958, I was interned for over 3 years in
Ballinkillner?
No.
Crumlin?
That's it.
Yeah.
I was interned in Crumlin for 3 years.
And for what?
Well, I suppose with my activities with Sinn Féin and that, I was tasked as a person who wouldn't be
Yeah, but were you, for example, were you the kind of man that would go on ambushes or skirmishes, or did you go across the border and get involved?
I did, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, and you preferred not to talk too much about that.
No.
But talk to me in relation to the way that it was handled at the time. Do you think that, for what reason do you think that things started to get the way they did?
Well, in the north. Well, the first was the civil rights. Like, I mean, you had
no, but in your time now, when you were out.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
About 58, 59, civil rights was, there was no, well, one of the ways, supposed to be about 40% of the Catholics, that's, and there, if you have a vote, that'd be all. That's, and if the Protestants, well, they don't like to be using that word. But if they had two or three houses, they had three votes. That was the gerrymandering that went on in the north. So then in 18, and the trouble started then in 1970 real hard then, and those big civil rights marches, and they went on for a long time.
So when you were released, you were arrested when? When were you arrested?
August 58.
And whereabouts were you arrested?
Down at just on the border.
And so at that particular time, were you on duty or were
no,
you?
No, no. If we're not, we were, it was Saturday night, it was, and we were having a drink over the town, and there was three lads from across the border. we were in the pub with them, and we wanted to lift, we left them down at the border. So I can't tell you much after that.
Yeah.
Just James Cross and another Messian were shot dead.
Oh, was he there with you that night?
He was with me that night, yeah. So.
My goodness, yeah. And so, and was at that particular point, did you, were you surrounded, or did you just try to get back home, or?
Oh, well, there was no hope of getting back home. No. No hope. So that was what I'm doing now that time.
And but those 3 years in when you were in Crumlin in Belfast, did that change you a little bit then? Did it make you a different man, or?
No way. It didn't have no effect on me that way.
Mm.
But I still carried on with my Republican beliefs when I came out. And I did up until, what, about 1980, 81. Young lads came in then and took over, and that was great.
Yeah.
From that I hadn't very, well, a few times I'd been over with Bowdenstown and down to different parts with. Every Easter I go to some commemoration, so I would.
Did you find a difference between, say, your generation and your men that were out, and the younger men that were out, as you say, that followed you?
Mm.
Do you find a difference in temperament? And
well, I wouldn't say in temperament, but I would say that they had an easier time.
In what way? No, that's interesting.
Well, I'm not.
Yeah, you mean you were very much on the run a lot, were you?
No, I never was on the run. No. But that'd be good. Wouldn't be easy. Just not telling more.
Yeah. And so, but the I suppose it's pretty hard to try and come back then. And you say you were trying to run a business at the same time. Being beside the border here, did you see the, you know, kind of, were you aware of, say, the roads were blocked?
Sure, it was out at them, out at the, you weren't out at the border there, no?
I was, yeah.
Did you just get a photo of the digger?
Yeah. Were you with the digger a few nights?
Oh, God, and several Sundays. Ah, went on for several years. Yeah. Then the police would come out the next day and they'd blow up what we had put in the day before. So that went on nearly every Sunday for several years. So it did. Then they'd come out again and we'd go back again with the digger, and they'd make it as awkward for us as they could, and we'd do the same for them. So that's...
Yeah. And did you find that the way that I suppose you had then checkpoints all across the border?
All across, yeah. Now every one of the roads was around were blowing up. You'd only the one road here at the border down here, that was all.
But you kept it open?
Well, that one out there where the digger is was always kept open. It wouldn't be right closed, we'd have it open again. That'd go on every Sunday. Oh, they came a bus load down from Dublin one time to help us open it. So they did. Oh, well, there'd be a big crowd that time. You'd no trouble in getting 50 people around.
Yeah.
To do it.
What year was that now?
That'd be from...
In the early time, is it?
That'd be from 70 to... Yeah. Whenever the ceasefire come in.
Yeah.
It went on until that time. So it did.
And so your village here was bombed on numerous occasions.
Oh, yeah. The school up here was bombed and the chapel over there, and McGinn's was bombed and Felix McGovern's was bombed. So there was lots of bombs around. And there was.
And do you think that was reprisal for maybe what was going on with...
It was... Well, sir, that was a Catholic school. Well, that's what they'd do. That's the way they'd be looking at it. The church would be just as Catholic. The schools are Catholic. Well, I wouldn't be looking at it in that light at all. It was the British we were engaged with. It was the British soldiers. We weren't engaged with... Well, it wasn't sectarian, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the shooting of policemen or anything like that, I didn't agree with it.
Did you not?
No, I wouldn't agree, because, like, I mean, they are Irish men, so they're the same as I am. They're very same. They're living in Ireland. They're very same. But the British soldiers, they're occupying Northern Ireland. So they're legitimate targets. So they're... But,
and what did you think of the bombing then? I mean, the bombing was...
Oh, the bombing was a bad job. See, we all know that. There's no one that said that it was a good job. Mm-hmm. There's no one that... I don't think anyone ever went out to kill people purposely for the bomb. But this is the way war goes. If the British had to withdraw, we'd have had none of that. So we wouldn't.
Yeah.
If they had to leave... There'd be no bombs needed, so there wouldn't.
Was there any casualties or anybody in, related to you killed or injured or during the 30 years of the troubles?
Paddy Mac, you heard of him.
Who's Paddy Mac now?
He was killed up the road here. The bomb went off accidentally up the road. We weren't up that road, no.
No.
There's a big memorial up to him there where he was killed.
He was carrying a bomb over the ditch.
And Peter Albert up the road here was with him also.
Yeah.
The same night. And Mr. Owens. There was three of them. Paddy was killed and the other two were badly injured. And they were... sent to hospital in Calvin, and they recovered.
Yeah.
So they did.
And did you know Paddy very well yourself?
Oh, I knew him very well. Yeah, very well.
And does he have family
still? Oh, he has a family. God, yeah, there's a big family. And there's three of them priests in Canoli down there, only 6 or 7 miles down the road. So there is. And he has a brother, a solicitor in Lisnisky, and he has a brother at home now in his home place. There's that anyway that I know of.
Yeah.
Then there's a couple of sisters.
Yeah.
There's a good, that was a big family too.
What was his mission that night? Was to...
Oh, no, I wouldn't be able to tell you that.
But where you knew, I suppose. But but this is the way it was, wasn't it?
Oh yeah.
And did, you know, kind of, did it affect you? Were you affected by this?
Oh,
you know,
this? It wouldn't help you anyway. Oh, it wouldn't help, you know. Well, what used to annoy me was the raid the house here. They raided it several times, you know.
Who'd raid it now?
The guards, yeah. And detectives. Look on, son. Look at the ceiling to see if there anything to get in the house. That went on several times. Out in the land, to search the land. So, them things that annoy, you know.
I suppose they saw you as a somebody involved, and then you were a marked man, you know. You were, but and it, just living through that. And were you working at that time?
Working through it. I was. Yeah, 1950, as it says, I started the creamery out there, and then in 1962, my father retired.
Yeah,
and I took over in the creamery. Then, and until 1969, I was transferred into Temple Court.
Yeah.
Then there was football all through that. We went through all football, and we won the first major cup that was ever came to Swanland Bar in the middle of it.
Did you?
Yeah, in 81.
We
started a team up in 77. Just if all young lads that they never before in Swanland Bar, it was all a Swanland Bar team. Any time before that, they were bringing men in from all over to play for them.
Yeah.
But not in the, we won the league, the first league, Major Cup, they came to Swanland Bar. They were all Swanland Bar. There was one custom man he was playing with, and that was, the rest of them were all locals. And it was the first time ever it happened in Swanland Bar.
I said that was a great time, wasn't it?
It was a great time. And all was going strong both ways.
Yeah.
That time. And it was. And at that time now, there was, the GAA was, didn't want to come get involved in it. And but in the, when the hunger strike, they had to
get involved, I suppose.
They did, yeah. They came up a few. The chairman of the Ulster Council and the secretary and them came to meetings at Cavan and Monaghan and Donegal. And so,
I suppose that heightened tension as well.
Well, I wouldn't say it heightened tension, it wasn't. But, it was just support for the movement. So it was. Like, I mean, they were, them when they came up, they were living in the middle of every one of them young lads that were taking a hunger strike, and they were out marching for the civil rights and all. They were just next door to each other. That's the way it was. So, like, I mean, you take Francis Q's, them odd footballers, they were out playing football.
Yeah.
They were. There's the same in the 56, Jimmy O'Hare from the Falls Road. He was a great footballer. Harry O'Neill was another great footballer.
Yeah.
Many more, like, I mean, them.
And I suppose the games and the music and the language, was that something?
Well, that was one thing I hadn't time to get involved in. That was the Whitney reporter. I hadn't time. I was secretary of the club and I was training the team at the same time. And we ended up with a good football field over it. And it was full-time going now, to tell you the truth, with both.
Did it affect your health, all the...
No, it didn't affect my health now. I was lucky enough in that way.
Hmm.
Because I had TB first in 1955. And I was in the sanatorium then for near a year, and just the following year then the trouble started here, 56.
Yeah.
That was the 56. And
who got you into that then? I mean, who brought you, who introduced you in? Was it just local lads here joined up or what?
Into the public
into
movement.
Into the movement at that time.
Well, it kind of runs through the family.
Ah, I see. So, were the McQuinns, or sorry, the McGees, were they involved in Civil War or War of Independence? Or?
Well, there was an uncle of mine that would have been when the Black and Tans were here, but after 1916 and that. And my grandfather, he was a very staunch Republican. So he was.
What was your grandfather's first name? Or was he McGee or was he?
No, he was Bannon. And he was.
Yeah.
And my mother would be another that would be like to help out.
So this was a real Republican house, so was it a real staunch?
Well, it was. Then yeah, it's five brothers, and the five of them didn't agree with me, but three of them did. The eldest pops, he was a priest, he didn't agree with it. So that's the way it went. I had a sister, she agreed with it, and the other two didn't, and that was a split house, as they say.
Yeah. So it must have been great fun sitting around the dining room table discussing.
Well, sometimes it was, but
So the entire your life, so you could say your life was taken up with politics.
Well, really. Indeed it was, unfortunately, to see what men lost their lives and hunger strike and everything else, and still no further on.
Apart from Paddy up the road, that the explosion went off and killed him. Was there any other friends of yours killed?
No. Although with James Crossan, sure, he was with me that night that I was arrested.
That's right, yeah.
There would have been other ones, I can't just think of them now. Jimmy McElwain over in Monaghan. And those. And a couple of lads. There was one or two lads from Inniskidden.
Yeah. And when they lost their lives then, did you think that was a waste of life? Or?
No, not at that time. Oh, no, no, no. It's just after when you see what the families went through.
Yeah.
See them. The last time I was down in Bundoran there, she died since, but I met Patsy O'Hare's mother. And to see that woman in a wheelchair at that commemoration up from Derry. She was.
Yeah.
I was talking to her. Her grief.
But people were grieving on both sides of the border now.
Oh, the way, yeah.
Do you know?
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But it was just a pity that it didn't end better anyway.
Nothing could have changed it for you, could it? I mean, you had...
Well, you did.
And a fight in your hands.
Yeah. Well, you see, when you look back and you see the Sunningdale Agreement, it was much the same as the peace process that's down there now. Only, the unionists in the north, they put it upside down when they did the coal strikes and brought the whole of the north to a standstill. And that was in, 72. That was promising. So what it ended up with afterwards could have been got in 72. It was got. Yeah. We need to get it through. sure about.
And would you kind of go to an? I know you say you were in a Skillinet school and that, but when at the height of the troubles, did you find it awkward trying to travel in
you would, yeah. I seen when we were living next door, that's where we used to, just next door. Mm. And I was down there milking a cow, and this man came running into the byre, and he says, there's two men coming over to see you. And he told me who they were. There were two, one was a detective, and the other was a policeman from Inniskillen. So, of course, they passed themselves off as different people when they came to me. But I had been told, and they were looking for to get the UA with us. When you've mentioned UA, it's always somebody just connected to the movement that is.
What's UI now? What does that mean?
You're the United Irishman.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And yes. I said, the only time you'll get it is if you come up here on Sunday morning after second mass, first mass and second mass, they sell it every Sunday. That's it. So they went off. And then when I was arrested, then they asked me who was the man that told them. But fair play to them, they put it no further than that. I didn't say anything and they were answered them.
Yeah.
They didn't put it anything further.
So they came across the border to your farm here.
Yeah.
Up to your...
In the house in
the outhouse there, yeah. The Haggard. And they... What did they say to you?
Yeah. We're looking for the UA. That's the United Irishman. You see, that's someone that's really being in the know. That'd say the UA, they'd ask us.
And why did they ask you?
Why did they wanted to get a look at me, I suppose. I don't know.
So, yeah.
They were after coming from a commemoration up in Leitrim. But there, when they called here. So they were.
Okay.
Mm.
And do you think, though, so they were watching, obviously, were they?
Well, they wanted to get a look at me anyway.
Yeah. Do you think the organisation was full of informers?
Not at the beginning, no. In no way at the beginning. No. Did turn out in the end, but not informed. But at the beginning...
Do you think it was the informers that brought the movement down?
Maybe it hasted. I don't know. I wouldn't be too sure on that. I don't think Adams and them, like, I mean, that was their intention, was to go for, to get into power, and that was all they wanted. They didn't think in the men was after losing their lives or anything like that, or the people that support. All they wanted was to get power.
Who, no?
Jerry Adams and McGuinness. And
so you wouldn't have agreed with them at all?
No, I wouldn't agree with what they don't know, in no way. Well, Martin McGuinness, I heard him on the television saying, something happened, and I heard, they're not really criminals, he says. And by Jesus, if I had to be near them, I'd have given something.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, a man goes after what he went, after going through, and then they call us criminals. And that was it, no?
But do you think, Ben, your fight was a different fight to the fight that that was fought in the 80s, and, you know, with that bomb?
It wasn't any different. Yeah. We were out in Brits out. That's marching up into Monaghan town, Buchanan town. That's all you were shouting, Brits out. No, it's not Brits at all.
It's, yeah.
So that's the...
Are you still? Do you still feel that way?
Oh, I do. Yeah, definitely. But I wouldn't advise any young lad to be in it.
To pick up a gun.
I wouldn't.
But I'll come back and let you listen to all of this, and you might even tell me a few more things. But it's so important, though, Ben, to get the story for future generations so that we can understand what it is that drove people to do what they did. And you know, what was it? What was it that actually got inside you to make you say that you were born into it?
I was reading books about Robert Emmett and Wolfe Tone when I was about 12 or 13 years of age. I can remember I was sick one time in the bed and had Wolfe Tone. I remember reading that. So I was even interested at that stage.
Yeah.
You know what?
But when you saw just up the road from you, 9-10 miles away, a bomb going up in the middle of a town and killing all those civilians, I mean...
No, you didn't like that. That didn't... Like, I mean, you talk about in a skill and bombing, you know?
Yeah.
But so then again, you can turn it around the other way if you want. And no trouble at all. Gee, how many bombs did they plant?
But how many people were killed?
There was as many killed.
Yeah.
There was as many of them killed of our ones as there was of... Oh, no, wouldn't you?
Yeah. But would you still greet your Ulster friend, say, in the other side of the border? You say your fight was not against them, it was against the
Brits.
Soldiers. Yeah.
The Brits. Brits out. Well, they're still there, haven't they, occupied?
Yeah.
They're on the same after 1916. Shall we see what cause goes down? Then he took the four flowers out and shot, brought them up a mountain. They were asleep in bed, and he took them out. Then they were tried for running yet, and he brought them out and shot the four of them.
Where is this now?
Cosgrove. W.T. Cosgrove.
Yeah.
This Cosgrove's father.
Oh, that's going back to the Civil War days.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so these kind of memories die hard, don't they?
They die hard, but you not forget them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That they're
you not forget
with
them.
You.
Like, I mean, they took out four men. There was they took one from Ulster. They took one from Munster. They took one from Leinster. And they took one from Connacht.
Mm.
Like,
so that. Yes, and you could see the republicanism living on in with De Valera, I suppose.
He was a disaster altogether.
Yeah.
So he walked out and swung Fianna Fáil. It was an empty formula. Doubt that he was after taking. That's what he said it was.
Yeah. So who do you trust now?
I don't trust any of them. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't trust any of them, or I wouldn't trust too many that'd be supposed to be Republicans. So when I say to them, I wouldn't trust. And I say to them, only going round.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? When you're, I suppose you're living. literally only a short distance away from what is your neighbours, I suppose.
I should have known every one of them well. Years before that, we'd be playing football together.
Yeah.
We'd be going to dances together.
Yeah.
Right.
And it all turned
out. I remember we used to walk when we were only about 13 or 14. We used to walk to Canoli to play at the 13 or 14 down there.
Did you?
Yeah. That Paddy Mac, now he'd be one of them too. We used to walk down to Canoli, down Dole Road as they called it.
Yeah.
And walk back. And there was a Mick McGovern here, he was a bit good, the Hackney man around. And we used to go to Bunbuy, a Ballyconnell, and he put the whole lot of us into the one car, big Chrysler, and he'd bring us to Ballyconnell and Bonn. 7 and 6. I remember going to pay him, he said 10 bob, and then he gave me half a crown back.
Yeah. And that was a lovely day out then.
Oh, God, a great day.
Yeah.
Well, you never forget it.
Yeah.
Oh, just all them matches I can remember, and I wouldn't be able to tell you when I wasn't hurting what went on. And I could tell you every one of them but them matches.
Inside, when you were inside, behind bars, literally, you could say what happened outside.
Oh, aye, yeah. Before, what happened before?
Oh, yeah.
Them it, days.
What? Oh, yeah, that's what kept you going, those memories then.
Yeah.
And so, but you're still, you still take a great interest, and that keeps you going, does it?
I do have a good interest in it, but I'm not involved in any way in any at all.
Yeah. So if you had to go back, Ben, and see it all over again, would you do exactly what you did, or would you do it differently?
Well, I do it differently.
What would you do now instead?
Well, it'd be a hell of a lot that I wouldn't do the bombing. That would be the one thing I'd be very exact about. Where to be placed. Come on in! Things like that.
Yeah.
You know, indiscriminate bombing, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Be in favour of that. Now, I'd try and make sure that there was going to be no civilians. As best you could.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, you haven't been down the north, do you ever live in, no?
Sure, of course I do, yeah.
Well, I was down there not so long ago. I was looking for a man to connect the water pipe for me. And I went to his house. I was sitting on the street for about 10 minutes. I could see them peeping out the window. So I could. And after a long time, the father came out. And I told him who I was. He was in great humour. He didn't know who I was. The whole family were just trembling. And that's only 12 months ago now.
Yeah.
The man that I was looking for wasn't there. I went to where he lived. The same thing happened there. That didn't come out to me at all. And in the end, I stayed for a long time, and in the end, I was just moving it to get out of the yard and to land it. And this poor old woman, she ran into the house when she seen me. So it's still there with them, you know. They went through it.
Yeah.
They really went through it. You seen the fear in them. That's only 12 months ago. The figures in them people. It's unbelievable.
But then, who caused that fear? I mean, does that not say something to you?
It does, but there's both sides.
Yeah.
You have both sides. Like, I mean, see, you took Jim Murphy there, he was in his garage, and they come in and pulled him out and shot him, left him laying along the road. Shit, that's when you were 6 miles down the road there.
I know, yes. So it was.
And they took another lad to Derry Lynch, and they didn't. Hung him up, he was a butcher. They hung him up in the what do you call the, would you hang the sheep on or that?
Yeah.
They hung him up in the freezer.
Yeah.
That's what they done.
Yeah. Were you there? You were obviously. You knew that had happened straight after.
Oh, well, everyone knew it.
Yeah.
There was no, like, I mean, Jim, I remember they only heard it on the news about Jim Murphy.
Yeah.
There's only any news about, I forget his name now.
Leonard.
Leonard.
Yeah.
Well, the night that I was there, I can't remember hardly any of it.
Yeah.
90% of it I can't remember.
The night you were arrested?
Yeah. Well, you suppose if you're in the middle of a fire and bullets flying around you, it'd affect you.
Yeah. And did you think
I couldn't say for honest what really took place that night. Honestly. All I can know is I remember the flares going up.
But you said you were in a pub. You were taking two lads down to the border.
Mm. And just, the next thing was, just fighting.
There were two volunteers down to the border, no?
Yeah?
Were they two volunteers?
No. They were not. There was one, a UDR man.
A UDR man?
Yeah. He was a UDR man. There wasn't two of them, but no. Thomas Cairn and Rooney.
Were you returning them home?
Ah, don't even, they had a van, you couldn't bring, you had to have a, at a certain time, you see, you had to have a book for getting a stamp for crossing the border.
Yeah.
And they hadn't any time on it, but they had a car at the border.
So you would bring them over there to put
there to collect that car, and they went off in it.
Yeah.
That was it. That was what happened.
But then, you must have, you know, when the flares went off and they came, you must have fired at them or something to
Jesus, we ducked the fire at them. Jesus, we hadn't hit in the water. If you know anything about it, they said that the van that was in went slaying off and all full of guns and everything else. And then when Lover Rooney, the UDR lads that was interviewed, denied all that and said that when the war was sorry for coming to swan the bar and the lake.
Go away.
Yeah.
And your friend crossing, he was shot at Guild.
He was shot there, yeah.
And were you the only one standing then?
That's all, yeah. I don't know, be honest.
Are you surprised, amazed that you weren't killed yourself?
I am. Definitely. I couldn't have gotten just as easy as probably as him.
Yeah.
But I don't know whether it was this side of the border or the northern side. I couldn't tell you for honesty.
Yeah. But I can't. How did they know you were going down there?
Well, that's another question. Did these men that we left down there, did they tell them who? I don't know. Maybe. That's.
Yeah. That's what you think, though.
No, that's not what I think.
But that's a possibility.
Yeah, it's a possibility, right. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll keep you guessing for a long time, I'm sure, Ben, yeah. But, I suppose all these things are... And so it cost you then 3 years of your life after that.
Mm.
Yeah. So listen, I've kept you long enough, and I appreciate you telling me what you did, and thank you, Ben McHugh, thank you.
Have you?
So the years that you were interned, tell me the story with the television set. That's
a television. We received a television from club in Armagh, and we were delighted to get it. And Johnny Barn said to me when I came in, he said, "Wouldn't it be a good cow?"
Tell me, here in Swanling Bar, tell me that whole story. So were you ever, did the forces ever catch up with you, Ben, and give you a hard time?
That was the only time that I was arrested, brought into Swanland Garda Barracks, and they were bringing me into a room to interrogate me, and a big detective hit me in the left ear, and I lost all hearing in it after. From that on, I had medical treatment, which I necessitated medical treatment in the A&E in Dublin.
Did you?
Yeah.
And was that those were the late 50s?
Yeah, there was Cosgrove's years.
Yes.
And Cooney, and of course Connob Cruz. Them were their years. They lost their seats after.
Why were they interrogating you? What happened?
They suspected that I was a member of the IRA, and
What was the name of the detective then?
No, I asked the sergeant in the barracks and he wouldn't tell me. No, he wouldn't let me see the man. He was a very tall man. And I asked the sergeant that I would point him out to him. And he said, they're all big men out there.
And that particular incident, did that occur time and time again?
No.
It just happened that time?
That time, yeah. I was arrested twice that time.
Yeah.
The first time I was let out, and then the second time I was charged with membership of the ARA and brought to Dublin. And I was released then.
Yeah. So you were interned twice?
No, it was only
interned once.
Once in Belfast. In Belfast, yeah.
Okay.